Now, when you find that 2,000 British adults have been surveyed by premium Italian food brand Sacla, and the results of those surveys reveal that 54% of those surveyed admitted to only referring to recipe books only once a month, and over 40% of the cookbooks that we might have actually purchased or been purchased for us have actually languished unopened on kitchen shelves, something isn't quite right. And accordingly, the only person to really call when something isn't quite right in the kitchen, who are you going to call? You're going to call William Sitwell. How are you, William?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I mean, a bit of a shocker in every sense of the word, this particular thing. I can understand the rationales in terms of why people don't use cookbook recipes, the top five reasons being they're too cumbersome. I mean, obviously, balancing your pots and pans and the book, on the other hand, could be difficult. It's difficult to source ingredients, too complicated, too labour and time intensive, and, of course, expensive ingredients. But what do you make? I mean, I know we started this whole campaign of let's get Britain cooking from the point of view of the whole system. I mean, what does it break your heart?
It doesn't break my heart. I think it resonates rather strongly with, I mean, if you speak to most people who cook generally, I think they'll agree with the results of the Sacla survey, because a lot of people get given cookbooks for Christmas. It's a really easy default gift, isn't it, for a foodie that's a friend. And I wonder, you know, how many of those cookbooks actually get used? And the answer from this survey is not very often. And those big tomes from Heston and Gordon and so on, they are more useful to prop open a door, aren't they? Or to stand on to get to the book that you really want from the top of the shelf. And I think that another reason that people are worried about these cookbooks is that there's a lot of French terminology that's putting people off, ballotines and cartouches and chiffonades and concasses and all that sort of stuff, which, of course, you, Alex, know, because you're one of Britain's most intelligent men.
No.
But your average listener in Lincolnshire probably struggles, with great respect, and I feel for them. So what we need is, I mean, one of the other things that came out of the survey is that the optimum number of ingredients that people can cope with is about five. But this is for midweek dining, really. I mean, I think people are more prepared at the weekend or for friends to push the boat out.
Sure.
And hopefully not experiment, but actually deliver something a bit more complicated.
And obviously, as we approach Valentine's Day, there's a possibility of actually cooking for love as well, which could be coming into the form of a whole range of things. Yes, I must admit, it was interesting in terms of the cooking terms we don't understand. I have to sort of hold my hand up and say, yeah, there were a couple there which I just thought, where are we going on this particular area? However, we'll come to that in a few moments. It's fascinating that this the Sacla itself stands for the Society Anonima Commercio Lavorazioni Alimentari. Excuse the cod Italian accent there, but very much designed to actually ensure that the credo of the company is that all products are made in Italy, and they're very committed to using the finest of fresh ingredients. So it's nice to know that's coming together on that.
That's right, and it's thanks to them really that we have pesto in jars that you can put in your store cupboard. Because if there's one thing that I find is the ultimate emergency fallback for producing food for children or for families, it's a jar of Sacla pesto, because you can literally just boil up your pasta and stir some of that in. Or on a cold day such as today, some sausages, a bit of mashed potato, and fold in some pesto into that. That's rather nice. They do a really good one with a bit of hint of chili in, which is quite good, and also another one with coriander. So, you know, even a company like that, whose name, the acronym you pronounce so beautifully, it's companies like that that are actually helping us. And actually, I will to say, on their website today, sacla.co.uk, they have listed a load of recipes that only use five ingredients. So that's all we can cope with.
That is interesting. I mean, it's the notion that Britons have nine recipes in their repertoire that they can cook from memory, and those special occasions, birthdays, Christmas, entertaining, those are the crucial things from that point of view. Going back to the kind of confusing terminology, etc., let's just go through those. Chiffonade, how would you define that, William?
Oh, come on. It's a bit early for this, isn't it? Okay, chiffonade, I'll tell you what chiffonade is. Chiffonade is when you, let's say, take tarragon or so on, and you roll it up and you chop it into long strips. So it's basically, it's chopping into long strips. It's not like julienne, which you do with carrots. It's, you roll up your herbs, slice them thinly. That's what a chiffonade is.
Okay, and ballotine?
Well, ballotine is effectively, it's basically a boned piece of meat. So it's like a meat parcel. So if you had a ballotine of chicken, it would probably be a chicken thigh that's been boned, and you stuff it with something.
Well, you see, it's like chef and sous chef, you see. It's that whole notion of seeing the secret.
But people love to play sous chef at home. People watch MasterChef. And actually, a lot of people are... I mean, Waitrose... have a cookery school in North London, and that one of their most well attended courses is their Michelin starred cooking course. Because while on the one hand this survey is talking about the fact that people are terrified by complication and they want simplicity, there's also a lot of food hobbyists, hobby cooks in this country, who want to be able to produce froths and swirls like you see on the telly, who want to be able to, who dream of having a sort of steam bath, who dream of using sort of vacuum packing technology in their cooking.
I do like the notion of, again, going to that website, www.sackler.co.uk/Sackler keeps it simple, which is very important from that perspective. And finally, in terms of those user-friendly authors, I noticed that Nigella Lawson, Jamie Oliver and Delia Smith are the ones who are classified as user-friendly. Is that because they do paperbacks? Just a thought.
Yeah, and also they have quite good websites. And Jamie has a very good app, which is really helpful for everyday cooking. And those cookbooks aren't too heavy. I mean, I actually think one of the great cookbooks of all time, What to Eat by Nigella Lawson, is wonderful. But also Roast Chicken and Other Stories. It's a little hidden gem by Simon Hopkinson quite a few years ago. We did a survey on Waitress Kitchen that revealed that that was actually the most useful cookbook of all time. So I think, you know, shop around, don't get frightened. But also, people love to get cookbooks. They love to put them on their coffee tables. They love to show off. It gives them a sort of foodie glow. So this is not the death of high-end, complicated cookbook publishing by any means.
I just have this notion that certain chefs are actually trying to cope with their tablet in one hand and their ingredients in the other as everything goes online, and they have an application to actually cope with these kind of things. It's perhaps 21st century cooking. Not to, of course, replace the fabulous History of Food in 100 Recipes, of which there is only one superlative version written, of course, by your good self, William. enough of such material. We've got to ask you those last two questions because the form is in full force. Have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on this discussion of the survey from Sackler Italia that's sort of taken us through all sorts of marvellous things today?
I think without question, Alex, I think the word is reasonable.
Well, there you go. So I take it we can look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future. Methinks, actually, we should really send some of our listeners as a possible prize, actually go down to one of the Waitrose cooking schools and just have an event there, a location report, really. I think that could be quite fun.
I think they should, and I think they should try out some of those recipes on Sackler's website and see if they can cook them and come back and try them out on Thursday morning, and then we'll do another remote eat-a-thon testing thing.
There you are, you see. And that, I'm sure, will keep the people at Taylor Herring confused but happy at the same time. William, it's been an absolute delight. Take care now.
Bye.